Welcome to Salt House, the live recorded podcast that takes you on a deep dive into the timeless teachings of Jesus. I'm Hannah, your host. Each week, we unpack the profound wisdom and insights of Jesus. From parables to sermons, we unearth the treasures hidden within his words, understanding how they can shape our perspectives, choices, and relationships. Just as salt reduces bitterness, enhances flavor, and preserves, these teachings serve as the seasoning for a more meaningful life. Whether you've walked this path for years or are simply curious about the teachings that have inspired generations, we invite you to join us as we embark on this transformative adventure where together we seek to bring out the rich flavor in life through the teachings of Jesus. On the way up the mountain this morning to come up here to talk with you, the thought occurred to me, life is kind of like a blender.
Okay.
I think in metaphors a lot of times. And, you know, you decide that you want to make a smoothie. And so you put in a lot of your favorite fruits and whatever and juices. And then you decide, yeah, I probably ought to add a little extra protein. So maybe you put some protein powder. I don't do that. But anyway, but things to make it better for you. So when you turn that blender on, it mixes it all in together and you take it, drink it, and it tastes so good. You're not thinking of, oh, this is the strawberry flavor. This is the peach flavor. This is the orange juice that I poured in here. Here's the vanilla. You know, it's all blended together. And I think maybe that for me, in some ways, is a description of how we just integrate just God being a part of our lives all the time. It's the sweetness, also some of a squeeze of lemon, you know, to bring out the brightness of the flavor sometimes. But it all comes together and you're not thinking about, okay, now I need to sit down and read my Bible. Okay, now I need to pray at least for 5 minutes, you know. It's throughout the day. It's that blended life of sweetness, just walking with the Lord, his companionship, his presence, and enjoying him. What is the chief end of man? To know God and enjoy him forever. Is that right?
It's the first catechism. It's what is the chief end of man? To glorify God.
Glorify God.
And enjoy him forever.
Yeah. But sometimes we focus on the glorify God part and we forget to just enjoy him forever.
Yeah.
There's joy. There's joy in the journey. Yeah. Such joy.
And there is if we choose to see it. Mm. But I was just thinking as you were talking, like, it is finding beauty in the world is an act of worship.
Oh, yes.
It is a choice. It is an act of worship. And creating beauty in the world is an act of godliness. Because, you know, that is really two of the things that we are called to do. We are called to call out beauty and good because God is a God of beauty and good things. I mean, he made this incredible world full of beauty in which we live. And so calling it out is an act of worship. Mm-hmm. Look at that sunrise.
Yes.
Watch the way that cloud moves. See this leaf, you know.
Right.
Feel the fur on the pup. Yeah. Whatever it is, the beauty, calling out a beauty is an act of worship. You're acknowledging God, even if it's something that somebody else has made. I mean, art museums and fantastic architecture and well-written music and then beauty in, you know, I always like to say, like, there are a few people at work that build really killer spreadsheets, and that is not something I am gifted at. But when you have a spreadsheet of, like, I put my number here, and then all of these things happen, and there's math that I don't have to do. Like, that's a different kind of beauty.
Yeah.
But it's incredibly beautiful. Like, numbers themselves, I'm not a huge numbers person. But, you know, my brother, well, he's your son, so you know this. But, you know, Ryan is an engineer. And so he understands that math is beautiful. It can be frustrating, but it's beautiful, you know. And then you begin to think outside of just the physical world that we live in, like the cosmos and time. And you get into physics and, like, all of these things. And you say there's, as Rich Mullins said, there's so much beauty around us for just...
I had jotted down that quote to make sure to mention that song.
Right. Yeah. There's so much beauty around us for just two eyes to see. And everywhere I go, I'm looking. And I think that's it, is just trying to absorb and take in and recognize all of the beauty that is everywhere around it. And give credit where credit is due, that every act of beauty, every act of service that somebody does for somebody else that is beautiful, every time somebody is helping, you know, is so important. Oh, I think that that's another thing we should probably talk about, is hearing the sound of an ambulance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. When I was in college, I had a roommate who was dating a guy on the EMT squad, and it was a little tiny college community. So every time an ambulance, a siren went off, you knew it, you know. And one day I was with Linda and a siren was racing through town. And I said, oh, every time I hear a siren, I said, I just feel so heavy hearted. I know somebody is having a really rough something going on. And she said, oh, really? She said, every time I hear a siren, I think, help is on the way. Mm-hmm. And what a different perspective.
Yeah. 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 And another thing that is in that same idea, but it's always like whenever you see something hard happening in the world, I think actually the first time somebody said this to me was actually shortly after, I think it was shortly after 9/11. Mm-hmm. And they were at that point, working with children. They had been working with the children's ministry. And, you know, it's like, well, how do you even talk to kids about these things that are going on? And she said, one of the things that you need to do is always tell the kids to look for the helpers in any situation.
Yeah.
Because that's where you see God in the hurt and in the brokenness, is you immediately say, where are the helpers? And that, that's really where the power of seeing God in a situation, you know, because God already has his people coming in to help.
Yes, that's good. Well, even when a while ago when you mentioned Rich Mullins and that song, that made me think of, besides just intentionally surrounding myself with things that call my attention to details of God's presence in my home or whatever, music, whether, you know, singing to ourselves in hymns, and psalms and spiritual songs. And I was even thinking about this morning. You know, I've always enjoyed a wide spectrum of music, both what's called sacred and secular and all of that. And I think that the older I get, the more I realize there needs to be a balance in what I listen to, because I can listen to something that's sweet and sad, secular, and then feel pretty down after I listen to too much, even though I enjoy it, you know, for a little bit. But music just has such an important place in our lives, and especially the hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs, because this is part of what made me think of the blender earlier. They're the fruit that you put into that blender, and that's what you're sipping on all day long. And so having good things going into your mind to be able to process and help you constantly as you're, you know, kind of just the old fashioned word, pondering through the day, meditating. That's another aspect that I would say is very important in my life, is just, I don't meditate as in sit on the floor with my legs in a lotus position. And, you know, but when I'm out in my garden or I'm standing at the kitchen sink and I have a lot of just quiet, not anything coming into my mind, and the time to process what has already been in my mind. And I think that that is just one of the real keys to, and you have to make sure that you're in control of your mind when you're doing that, because your mind will easily go down those negative rabbit trails. But the hymns, psalms, the spiritual songs, and the hymns especially have so much good, just theology that anchors our hearts. Also, I was just thinking about, you remember that conference that we went to, oh, it's been probably 10 years ago in Atlanta. And the theme that year, this was the first time I'd been to that conference, was be present. Mm-hmm. And that just still echoes in my mind all the time, just to really be present. I think kind of the new term for that for a lot of people now is mindfulness, mm-hmm. but just intentionally being where you are.
Which is so hard. You know, I think about the different life stages that we are in. You know, I have a full-time job, 2 children, a husband who's starting a new business. You know, so we're in full mm-hmm. startup mode with him all of the time. Obviously, I'm leading Salt House. And, you know, and I have a home and a dog. And
you travel every
I tomorrow. Travel for work. I've got, you know, we have land that needs to be occasionally attended to. You know, there's a lot. It always feels like if I am not careful, I just feel like I'm striving mm-hmm. all of the time. And so when I think about you out in your garden, you know, pulling weeds or standing at your sink and just losing yourself in your thoughts, I'm kind of like, that sounds nice, but that is not my reality. But the principle still remains. And I think even more now, because when I do have a few moments, my deep core desire is to veg out mm-hmm. because I am so like, I just don't even want to think. I don't like, I've had to make so many decisions today. Mm-hmm. I've had to talk a 6-year-old off the ledge because mm-hmm. of a pair of scratchy socks. Like I have had to walk through meetings at work and be diplomatic and figure out how to like, mm-hmm. I have already, and then I came home and I made dinner and I did laundry and I talked to Ethan and we worked on stuff. And now it's finally bedtime. I have about an hour that I've gotten the basics done. And now I have an hour of time. Mm-hmm. And this is the 1 hour of my entire day where I get to say, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And yeah. I actually get to make a decision about myself. And sometimes it's less than an hour, mm-hmm. you know? And sometimes, you know, the little person wakes up or Ethan mm-hmm. has a question sure. or I have to go to the grocery store in that hour yeah, or whatever right. it is. But, you know, a couple times a week, I get about an hour. Uh-huh. on my own. And there's this deep desire to say, perfect. I'm going to go upstairs. I'm going to throw myself on the bed. I love watching football. If it's a football, I'm going to watch football. Or if not, I'm just going to like scroll YouTube videos or I'm just going to do whatever it is that I want to do. But I find that what I do with my hour, my occasional hours, is really a make or break moment in my life. And that I can go and veg out and watch TV and I turn off the light and I'm exhausted inside and out. Mm-hmm. And I get sleep and I get up and I do the next day and that's fine. But my other option is finding stillness. Mm. And I find that I less and less in that hour am I sitting down with a list of prayer requests, mm-hmm. nor am I really even studying the Bible. Mm-hmm. I will read some verses devotionally sometimes, or many times not. A lot of times I crawl into my little prayer nook up mm-hmm. here and I just sit and I stare at the wall, you mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. but I just try to kind of help my brain get back into that place where I remember that Jesus is the other passenger on the car. Mm. That he is there and that he is with me and that he has walked through this previous day. I don't have to explain to him like, Lord, mm-hmm. this was a hard thing. Or how do I process that conversation? Or I don't have to say like, Lord, here's my agenda for tomorrow. What do I need to omit or whatever? Like, I'm just kind of like, I'm just really glad that you're here. I'm just really glad that I'm here. Sometimes, you know, you get that really warm and cozy feeling of the Lord being near you. And sometimes you don't. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. Because sometimes when you're driving in the car with a friend, you feel companionship. And sometimes you just are simply together. Mm-hmm. And that's okay too. Mm-hmm. And so just taking some of that time to just be still. Mm-hmm. And then watch become mindful in that moment to watch my own thoughts mm-hmm. and say, okay, whatever pops up is what is most important to me right now. and then be able to not repress my thinking, but choose my thinking and kind of sort through, you know, a kind of a keep and pitch pile mm-hmm. in my mind mm-hmm. of like, okay, what do I think about this? Okay, I need to pitch that. What do I think about this? I need to keep and sort that, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, where did I see God today? Mm-hmm. Where was his hand at work in my life? Mm-hmm. Lord, where were you? I know you were there. Help me to see where you were. Sometimes that's so obvious. It's like, well, that conversation at lunch was so encouraging. Mm-hmm. Or this meeting, you just provided the right idea at the right time. And sometimes I'm kind of like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a day.
It was a day.
No, that's really good. You know, even as you were talking about that, I thought about the Jan Caron books that we have read, the Mitford series, and how in the Episcopal churches, one of the things is the daily office, and it's in the morning and in the evening, where basically, I mean, they actually have a prayer guidebook for that time spent, but it is just a set aside time. And I hesitate to even say that because I think so much emphasis has been put on the idea of having your devotions, doing your devotions, having a prayer list, you know, praying systematically with. And if we approached all of our relationships on that same basis, if I said to my husband or to you as my daughter, you know, let's schedule. I've got 15 minutes this morning. Let's schedule a time to talk. And then I'm done with that. You're the relationship with you for the day, you know, or when I come and this is the list that we need to talk about today. You know, I need to ask you about this and thank you for this. And then I walk away. That's not a depth of relationship by any means. And so living in the presence of God is going through life side by side with. And Lord, right now I need you to help me get through this next moment because I don't know how this is going to turn out. And then, you know, after that's passed, then like, oh, that tree is really, in fact, you mentioned about, this is rambling a little bit, about wanting to learn more about prayer, but in our life group right now, we're studying that and watching a video series on how to pray. And the guy said when he was a teenager, his first like aha moment with prayer was he realized he was walking down the street and he just had this impression, you're supposed to stop and look at this tree. And so he said, I felt kind of stupid doing it, but I stood there and just looked at the tree. And it was like, I'm not sure why I'm supposed to do this, but I'm looking at this tree. And so he said, after a little while, he said, God, that's a really nice tree. Thank you for making that tree. And he went on his way. But he said, you know, you think back to how Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden mm-hmm. in the cool of the day. And it wasn't a structured, it was fellowship and relationship and sweetness, you know, and that's what our lives should be.
Yeah. And that's so good because again, it is, God is always after relationship. He's always after relationship with us. And we give him a 15 minute stand-up meeting, you know, or we come and we sit down in the back of the classroom 15 minutes late and we say like, okay, so what am I supposed to learn today?
Yeah, right.
And he's like,
what's going to be on the test?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Like, you know, can you just like summarize and give me the cliff notes, you know? And like, learning about God is so important, but that's something that like, I can multitask that. Like I can listen to a really good podcast or a really good book while I am driving in the car, doing dishes, mm-hmm. pulling weeds, walking the dog.
Right.
And God is with me during all of those times. Mm-hmm. And I can talk to him during all of those times, but I cannot multitask stillness.
So, so true. And I think that that is probably one of the big challenges that our, broadly speaking, our generation faces is because there is so much information noise, distraction coming in all of the time, that we have to be intentional about sorting that out and taking in what's good, but leaving space to process what is even good.
Yeah.
Because if you pour too much in the blender, it's going to explode all over.
Yeah, right. Yes, don't overfill the blender. And that's so good. And I feel like, you know, again, those chosen times with the Lord, and I don't choose perfectly, like, hear me. I'm not like, and then I have a golden hour and I use the totality of it, you know, to do the good thing. A lot of times I get caught in the, I'm just gonna, where like, oh, I'm just gonna go ahead and flip the laundry and then I'll go spend time with the Lord. Or I'm just gonna go ahead and lay out the stuff for lunch tomorrow. And then I will, oh, I forgot. I'm just gonna look up mm-hmm. this one thing on my email, or I'm just gonna check in on this one thing mm-hmm. before. And, you know, I end up losing my whole time. But I do know that when I come before the Lord with all of my things and I sit in stillness, I go to bed that night tired but free. And that's right. the difference. And I say this, I've said this for years, but, you know, I think, you know, Isaiah stood before the Lord and said, woe is me, for I am undone. And we always think of that as like, I am undone. Like, this is odd. Like, I can't even handle my life. And there's certainly, I'm sure, a sense of being in the presence of God that is like that. But to be undone means to be unraveled or to be untangled.
Yes. And the next line is, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and yeah. his train filled the temple. I mean, it's just a fantastic flip side of that coin, you know, like yes. undone to like, wow.
And it just brings, it brought everything into perspective for Isaiah. Like, the things that he thought mattered didn't matter, and the things that he didn't think mattered mattered the most. And it was just like this great realignment. It's that better than a chiropractor. It's mm-hmm. it's like I come to the Lord and it's like I have 72 pieces of string that are intrinsically now linked because I have woven them together and bumped up against these things, and I have this whole mess. And I bring it to the Lord and I'm like, I don't even know where to begin
right.
to untangle one of them, much less all of them. And the Lord says, just sit here with me. Hand mm-hmm. me your ball. And he begins to just pull strings apart and say, what do you think? Is this valuable? I guess it's not, Lord. Mm-hmm. Let's throw it away. What about this one? Is this valuable? Yeah, that's a keeper. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look how I worked in this one today. Mm-hmm. And we just, you know, and I come away from that. It's not every question is not answered. Mm-hmm. Every, you know, thought has not been, you know, captured and transformed into the image of Jesus. But I am going to bed much more free mm-hmm. and much more focused.
You know, something else that really helped me a lot was a couple years ago when we had that conference about learning how to pray, and the speaker encouraged us to download the Five Psalms app. Mm-hmm. That has been transformative for me in the kind of like my daily vitamin. Mm. You know, still, it's not, it doesn't take the place of Bible study or
community
or all of those other big pieces of our Christian life. But pretty, for me, this is what works, is every morning I get up, and even before I read my emails or anything, I just click on that Five Psalms, and it's a free app. This is a little advertisement here, but and it brings up five not consecutive Psalms mm-hmm. for the appropriate day, and then I've added Proverbs, and I just start reading through those, sometimes just on a skimming level, until something
leaps,
grabs mm-hmm. my attention in a special way. And usually I'll even go back and copy and paste that into my notes on my phone and go back to that passage and maybe even send it as an encouragement to some. In fact, I do that on a regular mm-hmm. basis, those verses. But just, again, starting my day with an awareness of God's voice speaking into my life, and then having time then through the day to process that has yeah. just been great. And it's not a sit-down, heavy, open your Bible and notebook and dig deep, which is wonderful when you have time. But most of us, if we do the daily vitamin
yeah.
of, you know, and the perspective that it gives so often is so perfect for what I need that day.
Mm-hmm. I think another very simple thing, if people are looking just for a little practical things, based more, it's not Episcopalian, but almost more on that morning and evening mm-hmm. kind of style, an app that I use a lot of times is called Lecto 365. Mm-hmm. And the thing mm-hmm. I love about it, first off, it is typically read by people that have fantastic accents. And so that just makes it all the easier to listen to. But a lot of times in the morning, while I'm upstairs doing my hair, doing my makeup, that sort of thing, I will listen to the Lecto 365 morning portion mm-hmm. of the devotional. It's usually about 10 minutes, mm-hmm. but it's just a little bit of a slow down. Recognize that God is going to be with you today. Listen to his word. They read it through and they say, what stood out to you? Think about that for a minute. And then they read it again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's for somebody who's like, this sounds great, but I can't even begin to think about where to begin. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, find 10 minutes when you can listen to something while you're doing something else. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many days where it's like, that's what I got. I have 10 minutes while I'm doing something else
right.
in this stage of life. And so that will help. And then in the evening, they do another short little end of day one. And mm-hmm. a lot of times, literally after I've brushed my teeth, I'll crawl into my bed and I'll play that. And it's just very calming and just helps you again to remember, Lord, where did I see you today? And I really enjoyed that as well. So
this is so good.
This has been good. And I think, you know, we could just keep going, but I think we probably need to wrap it for this time. And I'm sure we'll pick back up. Again, Mom, thank you for coming and chatting with me today and letting everybody else listen in on our conversation. This is one of, 100,000 conversations that we've had over the decades that have been very formative to me and hopefully encouraging to anyone who's listening.
So and encouraging to me, too.
Thank you for joining us at Salt House. We hope these insights spark thought-provoking conversations and deepen your understanding of the timeless wisdom of Jesus. If you found value in today's episodes or have questions, we'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to subscribe to Salt House on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss an episode. And remember that just as salt enhances flavor, these teachings can enhance the flavor of your life. Until next time, this is Hannah. Stay salty.